Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly!
What's going on? Welcome to the Flip Weekly podcast for Thursday, April 10, 2025. What's going on? How are you? I hope you had an incredible week. I honestly had one of the best weeks of this year. I was going to say my life, but this year, incredible week. It started with a visit from my mum. We went thrifting together. That's what she said she wanted to do. And you know, when you take someone out to a thrift store or a garage sale, you usually walk away with nothing. That's my experience in the past. And the person that you're with is obviously going to think this is a gigantic waste of time. That's fine. But that didn't happen this week. When I went out with mum, we found some insane stuff. And before that, I found some insane stuff by myself. Literally, you'll see the name of this podcast episode, and I cleaned up. And I guarantee if you've been listening to the Flip Weekly podcast or you've been a newsletter subscriber and you read it, digest all the information, if you would have been in this thrift store, you would have bought this too, because I've harped on about this topic for the past 12 months easily. You would have found it. You would have found it in the section that I say is the most underrated section in a thrift store. And you would have walked away with over $1,500 worth of inventory from like a couple of products. We're not walking out with a trolley full of like Goodwill Savers thrift store shit. We're walking out with not even a full bag, like carried in one hand type stuff. That is the stuff that we want to be buying. I've listed it up for sale, and if it all sells, $1,500 straight in my pocket. But that isn't the only good thing that happened this week. I'm going to go into more detail about all of this. The other thing that happened, which if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen, cue some sort of celebratory music. The Pokemon card scammer did not return the cards in time, so that case has been closed by eBay. Hallelujah. This fucking guy thought he could buy a sealed pack of 1999 Pokemon cards off me, open them, and then claim that they weren't sealed. I cannot stress enough how infuriated I was when I was going back and forth with this clown. The amount of daydreaming I did just thinking of what I wanted to do to this guy, even getting him on the phone to have a little chat, just all of that, man, like, I am so glad it's over. If you're unsure what I'm talking about, go back a few episodes. You will see this guy tried to scam us out of $500. I was talking to the eBay reps on the 4th of April, which is the day that the guy had until he lost the case. He needed to return the cards by the 4th. I wanted eBay to close it at like 5 p.m., thinking like, I just want it done. But they were like, no, we need to leave it until like 12:01 a.m. at the end of the night and the system will take care of it. So I'm like looking at the case leading up to it, just thinking like, is there, you know, in politics where there's like an October surprise just before the election or whatever, like an 11 p.m. surprise, you know, like, you know, everyone has this when you're at work and it's like 4 p.m. on a Friday and you're counting down the clock. You're just waiting for, you know, the bell to ring so you can go home, and no, you get dragged into a 4:30 p.m. meeting. That's what I thought was going to happen with this guy. I was like, okay, it's going to get 11:30 p.m. and he's going to like upload a tracking number and I'm going to have to start this dispute with this scammer. But no, that didn't happen. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that this is over. It's a word of caution for anyone selling Pokemon cards, sealed pack of Pokemon cards, that this could just happen to you. I don't know how you go about protecting yourself. I think eBay needs to put in some sort of better measures. I don't know what that looks like. I just know that I probably won't be selling anything like that in the future on eBay. I would advise against it just because it's so easy for somebody to claim that the item was open. So anyway, not to dwell on that. I am just happy that everything worked itself out in the end. Humanity won. Scammers lost. The world is fair. Just don't look too far out of the bubble. The world is fair. The world is back to normal. So yes, amazing week. And we're going to start as usual with everything that I bought for this week. I'm going to tell you all about my thrifting experience with mom, how that went. And then we're going to get into our sales. And then I'm going to tell you more about this insane bundle that I found. Oh, and last thing, another positive, We're finding success on TikTok. What on earth is happening? These are just one positive after the other. I said last week, I didn't know how to TikTok. Turns out I must know how to TikTok because the past couple of videos have done really well. And it's going so well that I think my follower count on TikTok is going to surpass my follower count on Instagram in like a week. Explain that to me. I didn't check the videos for 2 days. And then I just opened up the app and I saw that my inbox, my notifications was like 99 plus. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Who is inboxing me on TikTok? And then I looked and it was like 10,000 views and a whole bunch of likes and comments. I'm like, fuck yeah. So what a week. What a week. It makes me think, what is on the horizon that's going to bring me back down to earth? What is going to happen? It can't all be, rainbows and butterflies. It's going to have to be some shit. There's going to have to be like some shit and fucking shit and piss coming up because it can't just be good week after good week. So here's how the week started. Mum decided to come down to my place all the way to Sydney for the day. We're going to hang out. We're going to get some food. We're going to shoot the shit. When she was at my apartment, I asked her what did she want to do for the day besides that. And, beforehand, I had talked to her about some of the items that I'd found in the thrift. It's impossible to ignore when you walk into my place. I'm extremely organized. She was like, well, let's hit up the thrift. I was like, cool, let's go. So we jumped in the car. We headed to my local, which is only 4 minutes up the road. And this is the same one that I'd found this humongous bundle the day before. I'll talk about that later. So Mum's hearing how I found this amazing bundle and she's getting excited. Now, when it comes to my mum and thrifting, she's been with me once to garage sales and she doesn't like the selling process. So she doesn't like listing anything on eBay or Marketplace. She sort of refuses to do that. I've sold like one or two things for her on eBay. Just doesn't want to deal with Marketplace, doesn't want to deal with eBay. I offered to show her how, but she was like, no, I don't want to deal with that, which is fine. So anything that she finds, she usually just gives to me. I say that like it's a common occurrence, but it's happened once. So we get to the thrift store and we go down to where I found this huge bundle and we start looking to see if maybe they put out some more stuff. They didn't. That's fine. So we head into the media section and I'm browsing the DVDs, trying to see if there's anything there, trying to spot something for Mum. I'm telling her some of the things to look out for. And I spot one DVD. And this DVD is something that is talked about on so many different Australian reseller platforms, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, now that I can mention TikTok. It is a TV show from, Jesus, when is it? Like the old days, I guess. It's called Prisoner in Cell Block H, or Prisoner Cell Block H. It's a drama show based in a prison. From what I've seen, it's sort of like a gritty Orange is the New Black Australian version. But of course, back in the day, and this thing ran for fucking ever. It has like 600 episodes or more. If you find a complete set of this TV show, Prisoner in Cell Block H, it will sell for over $1,000. So that's all 692 episodes. And you can ask for over $1,000. You can probably ask for $1,500 and you'll get it. So I say to Mum, I found one. I pointed out to her and I say to her, this is a very expensive show if we can find a collection of them. And then, she gets to work looking for them. I did not know how into it she was going to get. I've never been on my hands and knees in a thrift store. I'll just say that. Mum got down and she was looking where I can't look because it's so far down there with my fucking old age. But on the bottom shelf, she was pulling out DVD after DVD. She was finding volume 10, volume 12, whatever. Like, and they started to stack up too. It was like 5 volumes, 6 volumes, 7 volumes. In my mind, I'm thinking there's no way we can find, all 32 of these, whatever it is. But usually when you find one, one of a series, you're going to find multiple. So I'm sort of getting my hopes up, but I can't visually see them. Like there's not that many there that would be a complete set. But then I also think, why would somebody donate just say 10 random DVDs of different volumes? Are you going to watch episode 60 and then go and just watch episode like 80, like 180. I don't really know how that works, but yeah, she pulled out 9 different volumes of this TV show, which is a good effort. She was finding ones that I wasn't able to find. However, unfortunately, the DVDs were not in sequential order. So we didn't get volume 1, 2, 3, 4. We didn't get that. We got volumes from all over the place. Volume 23, volume 5, volume 18. So if you list these up in a lot, who is going to buy them, right? Who is going to want to watch, like who is going to want to skip over episodes and jump around like that? I don't think anyone would, which presents a challenge. You know, I wasn't really paying attention to the DVDs when Mum was finding them. I was just watching in amazement. And yeah, I just wasn't focusing like I should. And I also didn't realize that they were sort of priced up too. They were $6 each, so you find 9 and that's over $50. They were only 4 discs each, so they were pricing them over $1 a disc, which is fine, but I usually only like to pay like $1 a DVD. I didn't look these up in the thrift either. I just went off memory of, you know, I remember hearing someone say that this is a DVD that is can make you a lot of money. So I didn't price them up. I just left. I thought it would be exciting to see later on everything that we bought. And yeah, I only later on that night did I see that, you know, the volumes are just all over the place. So when you have this issue, you have two options. You list them up as a lot, probably take a major discount because they're all over the place, or you define your customer as one of two people. Either one, a reseller trying to complete a collection, so they buy just one of your volumes, or it's a end user, the person who's actually watching it is just buying the next one from their missing collection or their missing set. So I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to list these up individually. I'm going to list them quite high just because when you're parting out an item, there may not be that many of them, and you can ask for a bit of a premium when somebody is trying to, you know, finish a set or fill in the blanks. Remember when I sold that Mighty Max little action figure? It was like 2 centimeters tall. It goes with the Mighty Max playset, and it was sold for like $25 just for this like little 2 centimeter thing. And it sold for that much because somebody was trying to complete their set. And when they're sort of hard to find, you can charge a bit more. So I'm thinking I'm going to sell these or going to list them up for $49.95 each free post. And that should, they should drip out over a while. The sell-through rate isn't going to be the best, but I'd make more money because if I was going to lot these up, the comps online says around 200, but selling individually at $50 each, that's 450. So I think that's the best thing to do. And it also opens up the target market or the perfect customer to be a reseller that's trying to complete a set so they can then list it as complete. So I think, yeah, I think this has been the best thing to do. Bit of a letdown just finding this and not being able to, you know, sell it off as one big sale. And I think if you find this in the thrift again, if I find it in the thrift again in these small volumes, I don't know if I'll pick them up just because if they're not sequential, there's just so many of these volumes that it's going to be hard to sell, I think. Even though it's a popular show and it has a good sell-through rate for most of the bundles, it's just a bit hard. But anyway, that was exciting because it meant that me and Mum were leaving the thrift store with something. And you know me, I usually leave a thrift store with nothing. I usually leave a thrift store muttering under my breath that people have stolen all my good finds and finding all my bargains. But that was good. We found something there and we moved on. We moved on to a different thrift. You honestly wouldn't believe it. This is in a different suburb, in a different thrift store, and we find the exact same show, Prisoner Cell Block H, but in 3 volumes with more episodes in each volume in sequential order, volume 1, 2, and 3. For reference, I've never found this show in my life. I've seen it on all social media platforms as be on the lookout, you'll make money. And then in a Lifeline thrift store, not anywhere close to the one that I was in before, the Vinnies, that we found all those different volumes. This was priced up at $3 each. They have more episodes per volume. It's a completely different like repackaging. And they sell 1, 2, and 3 for $99. So 90 to 100 bucks. I honestly couldn't believe it. In what world do you find Prisoner and Cell Block H, two different versions in two different thrift stores on the exact same day? That's like a glitch in the Matrix, right? Why is everyone getting rid of their Prisoner and Cell Block H's? Are they re-releasing it? Is the market going to crash? Like, what are the odds? And just to lay it out a bit easier for you. So there was the Vinnie's thrift store at the beginning where we found 9 volumes. Those 9 volumes, they have a blue cover and each volume has around 15 episodes, approximately. Okay. But the second one that I found, they have a different cover. They have double the amount of discs and they have what looks to be double the amount of episodes. So it's two different versions of the show. I honestly couldn't believe it. It's like, what are the chances of that? Anyway, I've probably done a very poor job of explaining the differences between these two, but go on the newsletter and look at the photos, okay? One's 4-disc, one's 8-disc, one's sequential order, one's not sequential order. I just wish that we found these sequential order ones before we found the non-sequential order ones, because we would have saved a lot of money. I probably wouldn't have bought the first ones, the non-sequentials. But yeah, this show, Prisoner Cell Block H, Australian classic, apparently. Pick it up, try and get them all. If you can't get them all, make a decision whether you're going to lot them up in non-sequential order. Think of who's going to be buying that, or just leave them behind. Try and start a collection if you want, but I don't know if you'll ever find them. Like, it's just so odd that I found them twice in the same day. Now we head to a different thrift store after getting lunch. Got this amazing Italian feed. I was like, look, Mum, I'll treat you to this 2-course meal. I've been to this place before. They do the best prosciutto and semi-dried tomato, rocket, buffalo cheese, sort of panini. Fucking amazing. And I wanted to try some of their pasta dishes. Mum's vegan, so I knew that this place also had a good vegan menu. They had a good set. You could do 2 or 3 courses. And so I was like, let's go there. Amazing food. And I'm like, okay, let's sort of like head home. And if there's any on the way, we'll stop in. So we stopped in at 1, and I said to Mum just before we got out of the car that I'm not usually that lucky in this one. It's quite small, but let's just go in and see what's there. We walk in and immediately on the shelf, my eye just like goes straight to this. It's a Paddle Pop package. It looks like a Paddle Pop package. I see Streets, the name of this Paddle Pop company. I see a picture of the ice cream and classic chocolate. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Open up the box. It's a candle. And oh my God, I get a whiff of it. Immediately, I go back to those summer days as a kid, going into the local fish and chip shop and buying like a dollar Paddle Pop. Whatever they were priced back then, probably like 25 cents. This thing smelt like my childhood. It smelt like a real Paddle Pop. I wanted to eat this fucking thing. I wanted to like put my hand in and scoop it out like some ice cream. It's this collaboration between Streets and Dusk. Dusk is a candle shop within Australia. It's like the exact opposite of walking past like one of those fresh fish markets inside a shopping center. You know, when you walk past one of them, you're like, fuck, this is the exact opposite. You walk past Dusk and you're like, fuck, but in a good way. So they had this collaboration with the ice cream company Streets a couple of years back. They made these candles and these oil, I don't know what they are, but I've seen them before. They're like, are they oil diffusers? Or like, they come in a bottle and it says that there's oil in them. I don't know what you do with them, but there's those. And they had this collab. They made chocolate Paddle Pop flavored ones. They made Bubble O'Bill flavored ones. Just all those classic ice creams that you had as a kid. I say what you had as a kid, implying that you're the exact same age and had the exact same childhood as me. I think I've said that before on the podcast. I just assume in my mind, you're me, or you had the same experience as me. So all these amazing flavors. And if they smelled as good as this Paddle Pop, man, I can see why they would have been popular. And back then when they came out several years ago, they're not sold anymore. They were discontinued. I guess they were a limited time thing. They were selling on the Dusk website for $59 each. I was able to find the press release and track the pricing back. And yeah, this candle in the thrift store was $10. And without even looking it up, I was like, this should flip for like at least 30 bucks on Marketplace. So I said to Mum, let's get it and we'll check it out a bit later. And even if nobody buys it, like, I will keep this for my place. I'll keep it just in case one day I get a bit hungry and it might look a bit tempting, you know? You know, chuck it in the freezer. What would happen to a candle? You wouldn't be able to eat it. Anyway, I don't know why I thought putting a candle in the freezer would turn into ice cream. That is not how it works. So yeah, I looked it up on eBay. There was nothing really on eBay. You know, this is a collab between Dusk and Street, which aren't the biggest companies in the world, so they wouldn't have had huge manufacturing runs. But they did have sold comps for the oils. They're fragrant oils. Still don't know what you do with fragrant oils. They had 3 sold comps, maybe a few more. There was a banana paddle pop fragrant oil, a chocolate paddle pop, and it's like a rainbow paddle pop. And you know, some of those prices for these oils, they were only 50 mils too. They're not big. The packaging looks cool, but yeah, they're not that big. Those sold comps were, the highest was $85 and the lowest was $79.99 with post. Paddle pop oils are selling for essentially $90. Here I have a 2-wick paddle pop chocolate candle with no other comps. Can't find it anywhere else. So I guess I can list it for whatever I want, right? I bought it for $10. It was sold in the store for, what did I say, $59 or $60. I could list this for $99.95. That's the selling price of all the fragrant oils. So why shouldn't a candle sell for that price? A candle looks better, in my opinion. A candle you can eat if you get hungry, but these fragrant oils. So how good is that? How good is that? It'll be 10 into 100 from a candle. I don't think I've ever bought and sold a candle before. This will be the first. But I guess, yeah, be on the lookout for these sort of things. I've never really thought about candles before. I don't even know if I've seen them. I've seen candles in thrift stores before. I just have never seen one that is like has this sort of collab with an ice cream company. I mean, that's not really a thing, right? But anyway, I really hope that the smell doesn't disappear the more you open it and smell it, because I've been smelling this thing like every single day. It smells so nice. I don't know if you've ever had a chocolate paddle pop before, but it honestly, it just smells exactly like one. And the next thing that we found was in the exact same thrift store. So before I warned Mum, I don't find anything in here. It's too small. And then we walk out with 2 things. This was in the toy section. It had Japanese writing on the front of it. They had what looked to be a Power Ranger on the front of it. And it had clear plastic on the front of what looked to be some sort of small electronic toy, a card slot where you might put some cards. And I found before in thrift stores, when you see foreign language on an item, they may not be priced up. The thrift store people may not know that they can use Google Lens Translate. They may not, I don't know. I found it, I've gotten lucky when it's like foreign, okay? But in the bottom right corner, there's the Bandai logo. If you're familiar with Power Rangers, if you're familiar with like action figures and stuff, Bandai is a really good company. And of course, Power Rangers is really collectible. I grew up with Power Rangers. I have home videos of me opening up a bag, like a school bag, Power Rangers school bag, and then inside the school bag was more Power Rangers shit. And I can hear it in my head now. One of our Christmas videos, I open up a present and it was either Mum or Dad being like, more Power Rangers. I was obsessed with this show. And, you know, I've rewatched it as an adult, season 1. And this follows the same simple formula in each episode. And it's sort of boring, to be honest. It's like 3 minutes of the Power Rangers as normal teenagers just chatting at school. And then it's like 15 minutes of like fighting the enemy, and there's transitions in between each scene where they morph into their Power Rangers, you know, when they go from teenagers to the Power Rangers, and it's all the same reused footage. And then there's the end where the, you know, the final boss comes, they defeat the final boss, and then there's another 2-minute section at the end of the episode where they're back at school and they all laugh and have a good time. It's just the same shit every single episode. And I ate it up as a kid. I really did. So this was marked at $6. I saw on the back the copyright, I think it was like 2010. I have Google Lens at my disposal. I can look it up and I see some crazy cool comps. And I'm like, all right, Mum, let's take this home. Let's pay $6. It's worth the gamble because of what I've seen on eBay and on Google Lens. It is battery powered, so we need to make sure it works. And we need to find out really what it is. That's when I taught Mum that you can use Google Lens Translate to translate words in real time. You know, you hover the phone over the foreign language and it replaces it with English text, like on the camera app. And she was completely amazed by that. She thought it was so cool. I swear, like, she wanted to find more, you know, Japanese words to translate just for the fun of it. So Power Range is really good to buy. And we found out when we got home, I tested it, made sure the batteries worked. At first go, it didn't work. I was a bit bummed out. Then I replaced the batteries with different ones, you know, doing basic problem solving. If the first set of batteries you use doesn't work, don't assume that the entire thing doesn't work. So put in different ones and they worked. Everything works fine now. But yeah, it's a head. Picture like an old school Polly Pocket, but it's a Power Rangers head. It doesn't open up. It has a slot in the bottom of it where you can put these, what they're called, power cards. And they're these Power Rangers power cards. You put it inside of this head and it reads out, I guess, what the special ability of this card is. And it says it in Japanese. No idea what they're saying. And you collect the cards, you chuck it in, and that's really all it does. It lights up too. But I don't understand the point of it besides the fact that kids might think that it's cool. And if you just find the head outside the box, you can sell it for around $20 to $25. But if you find the head and you have some cards with it, say 10 cards, there are comps around $85 to $100. So when I found this, or when Mum found this actually, it was everything inside of the box, including extra cards. So with that said, we can sell it as pre-owned, but inside the box with extra cards. I'm thinking $150, $149.95. So from six into 150. The key thing here is, one, if you see something foreign, you never know. Two, Power Rangers good. Three, make sure you test multiple times and change all the common factors out, you know, the batteries, you know, if that doesn't work. If the battery terminal's a bit dirty, you can always use some WD-40, you know, as a last resort. I would say with WD-40 and cleaning battery terminals, don't spray directly onto like the little, you know, the little wiggly things inside the battery compartment, whatever the fuck they're called. Don't spray it directly on that, because I've done that before and then the WD-40 gets inside of the of whatever it is that you have and it goes all throughout and it starts to drip out if you use too much. I would say like spray it onto like a Q-tip and then wipe that Q-tip onto the battery terminal things, like the little wiggly things, like the little doorstop things inside. Do it that way. And I guess the fourth and final thing is that don't count out a thrift store before you go inside of it. I was talking down to it. I was being very negative. And then, you know, we go inside and we're spending $16. And we walk out with items that are listed for $250. So 16 into 250 just from that one thrift store on the way home. So that would definitely pay for lunch. It would pay for those two courses and a round of drinks. And yeah, Power Rangers is just a cool thing to pick up. If you want to see what this thing is, jump onto the newsletter. There's a YouTube link there of what it does. I still don't know what it does after watching the YouTube link, but there's photos there, you can see everything. You can drool over the chocolate paddle pop candle just like I have. And you can also see the difference between those DVDs, those Prisoner Cell Block H DVDs, because, you know, I did a horrible job at explaining it to you. I'm about to tell you what may be my find of the year, and it's only April. We still have so much left of the year, yet I spent less than $20 in this one thrift store on six items that will go on to sell for about $1,500, $1,500. And you know what's crazy is that if you were in the thrift store, if you had been reading Flip Weekly and listening to the podcast, you would have seen these too. You would have known what they were just by reading the information on the box, and you would have left with them and you would be making this profit. I've told you so many times the board game section of a thrift store is criminally underrated. Anything within a box usually gets put there. And things that are in boxes, especially when it comes to things like video games, they're worth money. The other thing is, like, you can make money on these big box PC games, and it only takes one store to find that hidden gem. Or that gem. Not even hidden. These weren't hidden. They were just on the shelf. So I'm about to show you what may be the most money I've ever pulled out of a thrift store in one time. Now, these aren't board games. They're in the board game section. They're inside cardboard boxes, and they have a very distinct look to them. Just from looking at the spines, I could tell that they were old, and I got very excited when I saw them because I thought they might have been old school video games like Sega or something like that, but they were even older than that. These were from the 80s to, well, very late 80s to very early 90s. All of the games were created by a company called Sierra, which, from my understanding, was one of the first to be making sort of action-adventure type PC games. And they were all in a line, bunched up next to each other. We had six of them, all priced at $3 each. And within the box, they had all of their contents. These were all complete in box. So when I say complete in box, let's go through one of the boxes. They had game manuals. They had warranty cards. They had the return envelopes. They even had a receipt. There's a receipt in here for my neighborhood from 35 years ago. And it's weird because it's still legible. You can still read it. You can see the business name. You can see the person's name. You can see the address. You can see the amount of money that they spent on this game. They had, now this is before, think of what video games are now. If you get a video game now, half the time you don't get the actual game. You don't get anything physical. You get a code. This is before a code in a box. This is before a code in a case. Before that, you have the physical CDs. This is before the physical CDs. Before that were cartridges, you know, Nintendo 64 cartridges. This is before the cartridges. You know what came before the cartridges? We're getting back to, like, before my time, by the way. Floppy disks. You know what came before the floppy disks? Because these came before the floppy disks. Like, the standard floppy disk that I'm familiar with, at least. These were 5.5-inch very, very floppy disks. They were not hard. They were like floppy. I don't even know if they're called floppy disks. They were like wobbly. You know, you could wobble them. And regular floppy disk for me is like one of those hard blue ones with like that silver thing at the end of it. You know what I mean? No, these were like, they came in paper sleeves like a fucking hash brown. And they were just wobbly. I don't know how you would even put them into a computer. How does that even work? And what's crazy is that inside all six of these games, every single thing was complete. And when I opened one of them and I saw everything was complete, including seeing the receipt and, you know, the floppy disks labeled 1-3, that's when I started to get confident that all of them would be complete. Because when a collector or when someone like this stores things in this way where everything's in great condition and they include the receipt in the box, usually that shows that this person is, it shows how they treat their items, how they treat their games. So everything was inside and I was going through the games. I don't recognize any of these games. Like I said, they're before my time. There was six, all made by the one company, Sierra. This may not mean anything to you, but it may mean something to somebody. There was King's Quest game from 1-4, and there was also Heroes Quest 1-2. So these are games that are they're pixel-based. They ran on like MS-DOS or whatever it is, where you're typing in what to do instead of like pointing and clicking. It's really, really old school. Before great graphics. I mean, it was still pixel based. It still looked okay for the time, but it was before, you know, what video games are now, obviously. And I looked on the subreddit for Sierra just to learn a bit more about the company and stuff. And there's like this show that aired from the late 80s to early 90s that talked about computers and talked about video games, very early concepts of them. And it was funny to see this guy, this really 80s guy, demonstrate one of these games. It was like, the host was like, okay, and everything's interactive and you And you can click here, and you know, there's a voice. It's like voice actors, right? And the guy's like, yeah, let me show you. And he clicks it. And it's like an owl speaking in the most distorted voice possible. And they're like, wow, it sounds so great. It's just funny to go back and see some of that stuff, like compared to now, you know, this. Yeah, these games are just like the video game history, right? And just stored in such a pristine way. It's honestly very impressive that, you know, there's not that much damage to them. There's a few spots, you know, those yellow spots that come from age. But apart from that, everything else looks great. And people love these old PC games. And thrift stores, I guess, don't value them. They chucked a $3 label on every single one. So I bought them all. I didn't really look up comps. I did one, I think, and I saw a number that I figured, okay, this is good. If I get them all, I should be fine. I figured $3, you can't lose when you're getting these 80s games for $3. If they were all sealed, I would have made so much fucking money, man. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that just because you find old games doesn't mean they're going to be worth anything. This was just a complete fluke. It was just luck that these turned out to be good games. You know, you can get games from, you know, the 90s on eBay for like $15. You know, I looked up the Nintendo 64. You can get a Star Wars game from 1999 for $19. So just because you find an old game doesn't mean it's going to be worth any money. It's always important to be doing your research and doing your comps. But yeah, this time I got so fucking lucky. So yeah, each game was priced at $3. Everything was $18. Honestly, crazy to think that this was put in like the shelf all bunched together, with no care taken with a $3 price tag, considering, you know, you go up the front of this thrift store and they have like a fucking 2000 Sydney Olympics plush toy in a glass cabinet. And you're like, where are you valuing things? Why? Where are your priorities? These games should be front and center in the thrift store. These might be the most expensive things you have in this thrift store, and they're just out the back, literally right next to the toilet. So I'm going to tell you the comps, and then I'm going to tell you what I'll list them up for. Now, when it comes to this, two things. First of all, I add my Australia tax. My Australia tax is the price we pay for living on a small island where nothing really happens and things don't get imported here. To find rare items here, I put on a little tax on my fellow citizens, and it's a bit more than what you would pay if you're in America, for example. Second thing is, when it comes to rarer items, when there's not many of them in supply, but the demand, you know, a high sell-through rate is there, then I can price them a bit higher and just see how we go. Because, you know, when it comes to older things like this, people are going to be buying based on quality and how things look. So, yeah, just be mindful of that. So let's go through them. Heroes Quest 1. $160. Quest for Glory 2, $130. King's Quest 1, $399. King's Quest 2, $174. King's Quest 3, $265. King's Quest 4, $139. Wow. I paid $3 each. $3 each. So those six comps, they add up to just over $1,200. I'm not going to list mine for $1,200. I'm going to be asking for more. I'm going to be asking for more because I'm going to be selling in lots. They're in amazing condition. They're all complete in box. Not a single floppy disk missing. And I only need to then get three sales. The first lot that I'll be listing is King's Quest 1-4. So it just makes sense to do it like that. I'm going to be listing those four together for $1,000, and I'm going to be listing the other two for $250 each. Now, those aren't crazy listing prices. I think they're a bit above some of the existing ones, and I will say there are very few existing ones, especially within Australia. but I'm listing them like that because I'm adding on a premium because of the condition, because everything's there. And for King's Quest, the first one that I'm lotting together, because you're getting the first four. And with the other ones, I think 250 for each is about market rate. So if I sell all three, that's $1,500 in revenue, and I paid $18 in the thrift store. I mean, how many times have I said big box PC games, you should be picking them up? And you know what's crazy is that when I found these, I found other big box PC games in the thrift at that time. I found, I think, five others. I took a video of them. I'll put it up on Instagram. You can check it out. And I decided to leave them because I got distracted with these fucking older ones. The newer ones that I found, they were like CDs. And I comped up like one or two at the time, and I was seeing like 40, 50 bucks. And I was like, oh, I just can't be fucked to deal with them. And I left them behind. I took the video, though, of every single one. And then later on when I got home and I was like editing the video a bit, I was comping each and every one up, and I was like, oh fuck, did I leave behind like $300-$400? Because I didn't realize that I was leaving behind that much money because I didn't comp them all up. And you know, when you're in the thrift and you're comping and you're not really looking like that deep into it, like you're doing very surface level, at least I do. I see like if there's like a good sign, then I'll like pick it up. If there's like a bit of uncertainty, I'll leave them behind. And that's why when I was telling Mum about, you know, what I left behind, she was like, let's go out there. So from when I left that thrift store at like 4 p.m. and then when we went back the next day at like 9:30, somebody had gone in and taken every single one of those big box games. So from within that like hour and a half that had been and gone, yeah, they had been taken up. So it really shows like... that opportunity is there only for a brief amount of time, and if you don't take it, someone else 100% will. But I'm not too concerned, you know. Those other ones were priced similar to these, and it would have been, you know, about 25 or 30 bucks into maybe 200-300. So, you know, I'm not shaking my head at that much money, but I'm just saying, like, it's not that bad when I'm still walking out with, you know, $1,500. And it's also good to learn a bit more about these. Like, I didn't know that there was these 5.5 inch floppy disks. I always assumed that the smaller ones, the 3.5 inch ones with the little silver on the top, I thought they were it. And then before that, it was like cassette tapes. I did not know that the bigger ones, like the fucking, like the slice of pizza, the ones within the hash brown cases, I didn't know that they were a thing. I just thought cassettes were before. I remember playing on my dad's computer the cassette tape video games. Like, I don't know what the game was called, but it's like infamous in like with me and my siblings about playing like a witch game on the cassette tape. We used a joystick, but how did that work? If anyone knows what that fucking witch game was called, let me know. But yeah, I didn't know these bigger ones existed, and I'd never heard of any of these games before. But because we know big box PC, we know how to identify them. You know, these are not board games. It's so easy to see these are not board games in the thrift. We know to pick them up. And, you know, it's a no-brainer, really. So if you want to see photos of the condition of these, if you want to see the insides of them, you know, the manuals and the discs and stuff, jump over onto flipweekly.com and check out the latest newsletter. There's photos and everything in there for you. And if you want to see what I left behind, that's going to be all on Instagram today and TikTok, because I am a TikToker now. I'll chuck that up, see what I left behind, call me an idiot for leaving it. I should have got them all, maybe. And yeah, just take away from this big box PC. I always envision half this shit being at garage sales, being in old boxes, and nobody buys them because then they look like nothing. And who has like a computer that you can read floppy disks on, by the way? Oh, that's the other thing. These are all going to be untested because I don't have, you know, the necessary equipment to test these games. And from reading the active listings and the sold comps, most of them are selling for the big money without being tested. I think whoever buys the games that I'm selling, their mindset would be that this person has taken very good care of them. Everything is inside the box, including the receipts. So they may make the jump that the discs should be fine. I mean, not the discs, the floppy disks should be fine. But I don't know. I really don't. So that's a risk the buyer has to take. But whether or not they're going to play them or they're just going to display them, entirely up to them. I don't really care. I've put them on eBay already. The King's Quest bundle is listed for $1,000. It is getting attention too. This isn't just sitting there with nobody looking at it. It's already had 62 views with 5 people watching it. I have no idea if it will sell. The other two have a combined 39 views and 3 people watching them. But either way, any of those sell, I'm already heavily in the profit. And it's just crazy. Like, I don't go into thrift stores anymore feeling like I'm going to walk out with like great deals. Everything just comes like at the moment. Like I know that doesn't really make sense, but I just walk in thinking like, okay, I hope I leave with at least something. I don't think like, I hope I leave with $1,000 or $1,500 worth of stuff. I just want to leave with like one interesting, unique item. And to walk out with that, it just blows my mind. Like, you can still find this stuff in thrift stores. No, is the thrift dead? The answer is no. You can still find good quality stuff in a thrift store. You just need to know where to look. With that said, you will now be stealing all the big box PC games, and my window of opportunity will go from, what was it, an hour and a half down to like 5 minutes. So find them before me. I don't care. Just let me know if you do. If you find these older, like MS-DOS, like 1980s, like floppy disk style video games, let me know, man. Like, I like this stuff. I like looking at them. I like looking at the artwork, man. Like, and if you've ever played this game before, if you grew up with it, if you're a bit older, like, let me know what you think of it. And if you want to buy it, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be one of those people that sells to their audience like that. But anyway, that was insane. That was such an insane day. So happy to find those and hopefully find something like that again soon without being greedy. All right, it is time to go through what I sold for the week. When I'm looking through all my orders now, it just really motivates me to get rid of anything that is selling for under maybe $50. And I know that sounds quite high, but I really don't want to be selling $20, $30 items. And there's an item here that's like $30. And I just think, you know, like once I add in the post and once I add in like even, you know, butcher's paper or bubble wrap, I don't want to be selling like a $30 item or like an item that's not going to be making me more than $100. Like that's honestly what I want to set my limit as. Unless it's something really, really cool, $100 plus sales. Whenever that eBay ka-ching goes off, I want to be making $100 plus. So the first item that sold, I was actually really surprised and I was really proud. It was an item that Mum picked up in the thrift. It was a Wiggles VHS, the Wiggles Big Red Car. Big Red Car, yeah. I keep thinking Big Red Car that makes dreams come true, but no, that's Lotto, right? This isn't quite Lotto. We didn't win the Lotto with this. It sold for $49.95. I listed it up quite high even when there was comps that were like $15, $20. There's even a comp there for this Wiggles Big Red Car, a sold comp, sold on the 19th of March for $5, $4.99 plus $10 postage. And just above that in the comps, there was one that sold for $34.95 plus post. So I was thinking, you know, what am I going to list this for? I said to Mum that this will probably be the last item that sold, that sells out of everything that we bought, because I was going to list it for $50, just thinking that maybe, you know, somebody might see it in promoted listings and not look at anything else. So yeah, Mum found it for $3 and bought it. It sold within 24 hours for $49.95 plus post all the way over to the US. And that brought the total selling price to $82.33. So somebody's bought this for $82.33. And when I'm looking on eBay at this exact VHS, I can see one there for $5. Like, you could literally go onto eBay right now and buy this exact same VHS for $5. There's multiple of those, by the way, but mine sold for $49.95 in 24 hours. And I thought, I wonder why that is. I thought, like, first of all, maybe it's someone that's following my eBay account and saw it pop up and decided to buy it. Or it might be that this was off to America and these other listings didn't offer international shipping. So I went onto these other listings just to see if they did. And guess what? They didn't. So they've only got Australia shipping turned on. They're not shipping off to the US. I assume it's hard to find these in the US because back then when the Wiggles came out with their original cast and these original VHS, they're an Australian group, right? And they got popular over time, but I figure the older stuff didn't make it over there. I don't know. I'm just bullshitting right now. But yeah, these sellers that aren't offering international shipping, they could be making an extra like $45 just by turning on international shipping. Like this Wiggles $5 big red car, that could be $49.95 if you just turned on shipping. And guess what? If you're selling this item, either way you have to go to the post office, either way you have to put it into like a padded mailer, you have to deal with it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why somebody wouldn't want to spend an extra like 5 minutes, not even fucking 5 minutes, to make more money and offer international shipping. Do not, if this is you, if I'm describing you, please take it out of the too hard basket. It is not hard. It is not hard. You can even practice. When I say practice, all you need to do for international shipping, get your padded mailer. Okay, for example, get your padded mailer, put the VHS in the bag. That's step one, okay? Have I lost you yet? No, it's not that complicated. You do that, and then you need to fill out a customs form. Now, that could sound big and scary, you know, customs form, blah, blah, blah. It's not. You go onto the Australia Post website. If you're shipping with Australia Post, you enter in the receiver details. So that's the person that bought it. You enter in your details and then you just write what it is that you're sending. So I'll just write like video and it would come up with like the code or whatever. And you click that and it's like, you're done. You submit it, tick a box saying that I'm not sending like a bomb or a fucking ammunition. And that's it. You receive an email with your customs declaration, and when you're going into the post office, you just hand it over like you normally would, and they'll see that it's an international. You'll tell them it's international, and they say, have you filled out a customs form? And you say, yes, I filled out a customs form. You give them the QR code and boom, done. They'll get you to sign something and that's it. It is so fucking simple, and I don't know why people don't do it. The only reason I can think is that they have gotten burned with international shipping before and they don't want to get burned again. To remedy that, all you need to make sure that you're doing is that your shipping is accurate. Like if I'm shipping anything international, I want to weigh it and I want to see what box I would put it in before I list it, okay? So with this VHS, I knew it was going to go in a padded mailer, so I weighed the VHS. And then I measured the VHS, inputted those details into eBay so that I wouldn't get burnt with like a additional charge or whatever. And that's it. You just got to know what you're going to be sending it in. Because if you put in like that it weighs, you know, 200 grams, but you end up putting it in like a massive fuck off box that weighs like 3 kilos, of course you're going to get burnt because it's incorrect, you know, and the buyer will pay the smaller amount. And then when you go to the post office with a huge box, they're going to charge you even more. So you just have to make sure that you know how you're going to ship it. And if you know how you're going to ship it, then there's no reason for you to not ship international. And you also, by the way, you should also know, even if you're shipping domestically, what package you're going to put it in. If you're going to put it in like a small Australia Post box, a medium Australia Post box, either way you should be using accurate dimensions and weight. Because again, you can get burnt domestic shipping too, domestically shipping. It's not just international. So make sure you do that. Please don't put it in the too hard basket. Take it out of the too hard basket. You can open up a huge market. Australia is so fucking small. We have, how many people do we have in Australia? Like 26 million? And how many people in the States? How many fucking people in the world? Don't you want to be shipping to the world? Don't you want the world to be giving you money? Why do you just want to keep it in Australia? What do you have against the rest of the world? Anyway, that was crazy to me that there was a $5 VHS that is still sitting there because they don't ship internationally. And yet here I am selling it for like 10 times the amount, just because I'm willing to submit a customs form, like submit a customs declaration. I mean, it's just, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. But anyway, so that sold. Mum turns, what was it, $3 that she paid for it into $49.95. Once we get rid of the fees and stuff, she's probably made probably $40. So 3 into 40. That's really good. It's a good flip in 24 hours too. Now, the next flip was an unusual category. And it's a category that I've had a bit of issue with in the past. I don't know if you'll remember. I mean, I didn't talk about it on the podcast because it was pre-podcast, but it was in the newsletter. I was inundated with trolls on Facebook Marketplace. I put this listing up for a cinema exclusive Garfield drink holder thing. So it's like in the shape of Garfield's head. You put a straw in it and you drink out of it. You get it from the cinema. It was a cinema exclusive. I had it on for $80 on Facebook Marketplace because the comps on eBay were like $100 plus. There were sold comps, active comps. It must have gotten shared on like 4chan or some troll Discord. And all of a sudden it was getting tens of thousands of views. And all of these trolls messaging me are basically implying like, can they fuck the Garfield drink thing. Like, they're asking me how big is the hole, just low hanging trolling, right? I would just message them back too, and they would just stop, you know, they wouldn't go on with it. So it was a gigantic waste of time, but they moved on to something else within about a week. But yeah, for a solid week or two there, I was getting so many messages about this cinema exclusive item. But that brings me to this flip here, which was a cinema exclusive popcorn bucket from Star Wars. In 2019, a new Star Wars movie came out called The Rise of Skywalker, which I haven't seen, but I found this R2-D2 popcorn bucket. And yeah, this was something that you could buy in a cinema when the movie came out for, you know, you could get your regular popcorn or you could get like your popcorn put inside of R2-D2. People would pay a bit more for that, and it becomes, you know, a sort of collectible. Because just think of, you know, Star Wars people, the Star Wars collectors, they want everything or anything that's a bit weird or a bit anything related to the new movies, the old movies, whatever, and they're happy to buy that. So I can't remember how much I bought it for, but wouldn't have been much. It sold on Marketplace for $50. I had it on eBay for $120, and I had a bit of interest there. But yeah, this popcorn bucket sold for $50, and the person that bought it was driving all the way from Penrith, which is like, it was like 45-minute drive away on a Saturday afternoon too. So they were keen to get it. Maybe they were going to have a party and it would be like a good display piece to put lollies or something inside of it. Goes to show what type of parties I go to that I think you put lollies inside. Like, what parties am I going to where they have lollies on the table? I associate with very fancy people, as you can tell. But yeah, popcorn buckets are an interesting one. You can get like Disney ones that are, I guess Star Wars is technically Disney, but you can get Disney ones for like $50 to $100, if not more. They sell every single day on eBay, and there's a whole collector's market. There's whole communities of people, you know, showing off their popcorn buckets. If you type it in onto social media, you can see people showcasing all their popcorn buckets, all the different ones, which I think is cool. I would never collect them, but I do think it's cool. And so I think, yeah, if you find a popcorn bucket in the wild, I'm not talking about just like a really plain, boring popcorn bucket, like a print on a bucket. I'm not talking about just a print on a bucket. These are usually a bit more elaborate, like this, the R2-D2 one, you know, it has movable legs. It has the top that comes off him. It's just a bit more detailed. So yeah, if you find just like a bucket that has a print on it, don't pick it up. But if it's a bit more elaborate and you can see, like if you turn it upside down, you can see, you know, the movie name or like the cinema that it was in, then that's a good sign that it was a cinema exclusive popcorn bucket or popcorn drink thing, drink container. Do not pick up just a regular bucket with a print on it, unless it was maybe from a movie like 20, 30 years ago. Don't quote me on this, but yeah, the more recent ones are very, very elaborate. You eat out of different parts of a character or the interesting designs. The next item that sold, I picked up in issue 56, so it wasn't that long ago. I paid $15 for it. It sold for $170. And again, it's a Star Wars collectible. This is really a Star Wars week. I told you guys last week that I was watching for the very first time Star Wars. I've got a buddy. We're going to see the third one in the cinema when it's re-released. The third one of the sequels. No, whichever one's the latest one. So for some reason, there's a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff. I'm actually going over to my friend's place tonight to watch whichever one comes after The Phantom Menace. So I'll let you know what I think about that. But yeah, this is a collectible from 2013. It's called the Bounty Hunter Code Files of Boba Fett. So Boba Fett's a character in Star Wars, which I've yet to be introduced to. And he has this sort of like lockbox that has all of his plans and information inside of. And I found it in the thrift. It said Scholastic on it. To get into his lockbox, you need like this little digital card. The card comes inside of the packet, but it's like sort of flush against the back of it. You pop it off and you put it in a slot and the lockbox opens with like bright lights and noise. And I have a feeling that the thrift store saw Scholastic. They saw what looked like a big book and they didn't really open it up to see what it was. Because if they did, they would have seen that this collectible sells for over $150. And, you know, when I got it home, I followed the instructions. I got the card off the back and I popped it in. I checked new batteries in the back of it just to make sure it'd work. Because, yeah, these are the hurdles that we have to jump over for an item like this. We need to make sure it works and that everything's inside. And when there's a lot of items inside of something, it's 50-50 whether or not it's going to be complete. So the lights, the sirens, the noises, whatever, it all worked. Opened it up. Everything was inside of it. I didn't think some of the IDs were. There was like an ID of Boba Fett, but they were all hidden within like the books. So I was really glad that everything was complete in this. And it sold, yeah, $169.95. And I picked that up for $15. That was in I think it was a Red Cross op shop. Yeah, 15 into 169.95. This very much is a Star Wars week. And I mean, now we're getting into the next item. It's sort of like Star Wars-esque. It's Dungeons and Dragons. We're just going from one fantasy to the other, right? This is Dungeons and Dragons promo swag that I found in issue 53. Again, not that long ago. I think that was February. This was promo swag that was handed out on the opening night of the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie. So that came out how long ago? I don't know, a year or two, I guess. And when influencers go to these movies, I guess they get given a bag of merchandise. And you know what influencers are like. They go there to take photos. They go there just to say they were there. A night out. They get free tickets, whatever. And I guess they weren't interested in the movie or they weren't a fan of the movie because they donated the entire lot. And the entire lot consisted of a satchel, a dungeon. These all had Dungeons and Dragons like branding on them. So there was a satchel, a beanie, and a stein. And all three of those were in the thrift for a combined $25. I got excited because when I was looking at comps in the store, I remember seeing like a sold comp of the stein for like $200. And I was like, oh shit, these must be rare. You know, I could see sold comps of the beanie for like $50 and the satchel was like even more. Because not everyone could get their hands on these. These were not sold in store. These were made just for the movie premiere. And I think in America, they were given, I think like maps or posters. And here in Australia, we were given, yeah, this lot. And that has gone on to sell for $200 plus an additional 65 post. And that's going over to the US. So that's a sale in under 2 months from 25 into 200. I had it listed up for $249.95, but I accepted a best offer of $200. And yeah, I've posted a video of me finding that on Instagram, which you can check out. That's instagram.com/flipweekly. Really, really good find. I was a very exciting find too, not just for the money, but because of the story behind it, the movie premiere. And yeah, that was just cool. Yeah. Now there's a couple more sales. I'm not going to go into them, but you can see the photos on the Flip Weekly newsletter. That's flipweekly.com. There's a 1996 Looney Tunes Space Jam Michael Jordan embroidered sweatshirt. It looks really cool. This thing is almost as old as me, but it's in way better condition. It looks great. It has like a picture of Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny embroidered onto the front of this navy blue sweatshirt with a Space Jam logo. That was $10 and it sold for $125. And that again is going over to the US. So like I've said to a million times, I love it when I get international orders because it, to me, it's a pat on the back for finding a really cool item that someone's willing to pay, you know, a lot of money in shipping to receive. And there's a couple of cool other cool items there. I'll let you go into the newsletter and check them out. Not worth me talking about, but could be valuable to you.
Now that wraps up the podcast for this week. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow Flip Weekly on all social media platforms. If you're not following the Flip Weekly newsletter, go on to flipweekly.com, enter in your email address, and you will get the Flip Weekly inbox. No, you'll get the Flip Weekly newsletter into your inbox every Thursday morning. It has photos, it has stories, it has a bit more information that you that accompanies this podcast. And of course, go to social media. We're now on TikTok. I'm posting a new video this morning about the bundle of games that I found, so make sure you watch that. Lots of big plans for the future. And next week's podcast might be a bit different. Might not be about making money in thrift stores, but it is about making a lot of money outside of a thrift store. It's a story that I've pre-recorded and I'm going to release it for you guys. Hope you enjoy it. I have a very, very busy week this week, so I may not be able to hit up the thrift, but trust me, you're going to enjoy this story. So thanks again for listening. Flipweekly.com. Thanks again for listening. Signing off for another week. Enjoy the garage sales on the weekend. Enjoy the thrift stores. And I'll see you again next week.
Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly.